Hello, everybody. This is Mike Lampe in the Active Learning Podcast. This week, we are finally coming back after a week and a half hiatus. I apologize for that. If you are really desperately looking for more active learning tips from me, I was actually in Colorado. Sometimes I slip up on the direct pronunciation of it. I'm from Wisconsin, not from Colorado, or I'm not from the South, but I'm in South Carolina. Not that anything's wrong with that. It's just something that sometimes, coming from small town Wisconsin, my voice gets a little interesting when I get excited about something. So we want to talk a little bit today about organizational partnerships in the University of Active Learning, and this could relate to K through 12, although my expertise lies more in the higher ed space. I want to step away a little bit from how do you make sure faculty development for active learning is intentional with intentional programming, and stick more to how do you transform the spaces themselves. And this comes from an article that I wrote for Keep Learning, which is an online journal for the Canvas LMS system. If you go to learning.instructure.com, and Instructure is INSTRUCTURE.com, you can click on my name. The article is called Organized Chaos, How Active Learning Impacts Organizational Structures in Higher Education, and that was dated July 30th. So it's an interesting article, but in that article, I decided to identify five entities that you should be aware about having good communication with when you're transforming classrooms to more active spaces. The first one I talk about a little bit is your department. Your department is obviously, if you're spearheading the idea of transforming the learning spaces to become more active learning friendly, you know, you have to make sure that the data is there. You have to make sure that there's research available. You have to make sure that if there is a grant that you follow proper reporting procedures to make that happen. And you know, if you don't, your job depends on that happening. Or if you're in a higher level of authority that wants to make this part of initiative, you got to make sure that you're comfortable and confident that this is an idea that you want to spread to your inner circles and your outer circles. So obviously that makes sense, knowing your stake in just being a productive member of your own department. Now, as far as the faculty is the second group that I establish is, at the end of the day, the faculty are the people that are going to be using that space more than you are. As much as we want to create, if you're an administrator that's not a faculty person, you want to make sure that it's the coolest thing ever, that you can go to the conferences, you can tell people, look what your university is doing. But as cool as it may look, if the faculty don't know how to use it or they don't like the way that it's designed, it's not going to get the optimal use out of it. And it just becomes another classroom that, you know, faculty may or may not like. And they decide to either use it and begrudgingly use it if it's not working, or they ask to be switched into another room, and eventually over time they just convert it back into a normal traditional class. So just be very careful on the designing of your active learning spaces, making sure that you're not restricting what the faculty can do in that classroom. Obviously, you know, you can restrict it if it's something that you think is necessary. For example, in our situation, we wanted to make sure that there was not a front of classroom. So we restricted the ability for the faculty member to stay in one spot all the time. It's hard to explain that further without being short in this podcast and making sure that you have the visual. So please go on our Twitter page to kind of look at what we mean by that. So definitely look into that. The third grouping that I think is important is your internal partners. Did you partner with somebody for a grant to help out in the process? If you have any internal partners, any departments that are part of the university that like the idea of active learning, you know, what is their stake in making sure that program is taking place or that initiative goes forward to get active learning spaces or implementing active learning best practices? Make sure that you understand what their reason for it is, so that when you're making decisions, you're aware, okay, how can I make sure that they're politically, you know, in the game. They're also educationally in the game, so that, you know, you're not making a decision and getting them upset. The fourth group, I think, is also very important, and that's the audiovisual staff. As much as some of these people may not have the expertise of a faculty member or an instructional designer in knowing how to educate populations necessarily, but I believe that the audiovisual staff has been sent down from above to let us make sure that we're down to earth when it comes to our ideas. When we're in our ivory towers, as some people would call higher education, we can create these abstract ideas that don't have a practical application to it, or that can become the stereotype of higher education. But I would say that when there are legitimate times when we have that situation, the AV staff is really there to say, listen, you know, we've done this before. It didn't really work well as much as the person who was asking us to put a certain technology in worked. Case in point, in our efforts, wireless connectivity is a really great product. We really like the opportunity that it may have in the classroom. Unfortunately, it's not really there yet. We've tested out a couple of different wireless connectivity devices that just are very laggy in nature. And until we figure out the networking scheme to do that and to make sure that we have the right product in our classrooms to make it work, it's hard for us to kind of get into that mode, especially when you're pitching a new product or a new classroom design that's supposed to enhance teaching and enhance learning. If the technology doesn't work, that kind of becomes an indicator for people using that room. Well, maybe these practices aren't as well thought out as we were told. So that's something that the AV guys can help out, or gals for that matter. The AV staff could help out to make sure that when you put a technology in there, when you design a a situation in there, that the AV staff is going to be like, okay, this is not what we can do that would be most cost effective, but we could do something that's slightly similar to make sure that we get the right intended value of the classroom stuff. So last but not least, the fifth partner is any external partners. And this is kind of a tough one because the external partners tend to be your vendors, the people that create the products that we can't create in-house. So obviously I'm not going to create an Apple, you know, TV. I'm not going to create a wireless connectivity device. I'm not going to create an e-whiteboard because that's just not what our what we do in higher education. We're making sure that we teach students what they need to do to get an effective job and to be good at critical thinking. So it's kind of, I like to call it in the article, I call these stakeholders necessary evils, because you want to make sure that you have the best collaborative furniture technologies and logistical constructions for these new active learning classrooms to make it more interactive for your students. But at the same time, some companies or some vendors might pitch you something that it almost makes it seem that you become their test kitchen for future purchases to see, okay, we're going to put this at University A and we're going to try it out. And if it doesn't work, we'll just tweak it and we'll take it to the next person. You want to make sure that you are very careful with that. And obviously, too, this kind of goes to show Cindy Jennings is my supervisor at Learning Technologies at USC Upstate. She always likes to pitch the idea of, you want to make sure you want to focus on the teaching before you start looking at technologies. It's a lot. Technology enhances the your teaching practices more when you have already something in place that you want to teach. So that's okay, let's look at the technology. Now we know what you're going to do, not the other way around where we have this cool technology. Now we have to think about what we can do with it. So that's something that you have to consider. But the most annoying thing that can happen is you losing sight of what your active learning classroom already looks like, and then your vendor comes in and say, oh, we have this cool product to try out, and it's very easy because it's a brand new, oh, we don't know what it does type of device, that it could get very, you could get very easily distracted on your active learning design when sometimes vendors are looking for more profit. I'm not really saying either that it's a bad thing that vendors are looking to make more profit. That's what they're in business for. Unfortunately, higher education, we're not in the business to make money, especially for external companies. We're making sure that we're doing the best product that we can in enhancing our learning environment, which could or could not need or that sometimes that will or will not sometimes have technology associated with that idea or an enhancement in your learning department. So at the end of the day, all these factors, all these groups and identities of people that come together to try to discuss what the best version of an active learning classroom is, there's going to be a small sliver. If every of them have circle and you create a huge Venn diagram with all these circles in mind, there's only going to be a small part of it that actually is what I like to call the sweet spot, the equilibrium where everybody kind of comes to an agreement. And those all those circles look like that. All those circles are things that we all want, or the philosophies of this classroom, what it's going to look like. We're all only going to want a part. We're all only going to have a part of that, our ideas or our thoughts into that classroom. But it's going to be the thoughts that are absolutely necessary that you say, I cannot live without this. The rest of the stuff, it would be great to have for yourself or for the entity that you represent. But you got to remember that there's a bunch of people coming together. There's a lot of chefs in the cookie jar that really want to make sure that this classroom is set up perfectly for active learning, to enhance retention, to enhance the active learning activities, to enhance the teaching that the faculty do. So definitely keep in mind that you're not going to get 100% of what you want. And if you think you're going to get 100% of what you want, you have to rethink taking this initiative to the next level, because there's so many people out there that are going to want to do the similar thing that you're doing, but in a different way. And you just got to be open to make sure what do you absolutely need to stand for versus what do you like but not necessarily need at this moment on. Remember, if you do this well, there's going to be other opportunities for you to do another classroom or another program. So think, if I have an idea that gets kicked to the curb, how can you punt that for the next time around? And that's essentially all I have for this podcast episode. I don't want to make it any more longer. I hope you don't think my voice is annoying or anything. So next time, I'm hoping to have another podcast episode, and we'll talk about the intentionality of programming. In the next couple of weeks, you'll be seeing a podcast for gaming consoles and active learning. We will be bringing the IT help desk coordinator here, who him and I will be discussing the possibility of bringing a gaming console to an active learning classroom, and that's something that we're going to bounce around ideas for. So I hope you enjoy. Have a good rest of your week. And again, this has been the Active Learning Podcast by Michael Lampe. Take care.